Would the children come forward, please? Welcome, welcome. We have some big guys here to be experts for us today. Always need to use the expertise we have. What does it look like I'm doing? Yeah. Packing to go? Yeah, I am. I'm packing to go to camp. And at church camp, you need lots of stuff. Most of the camps, if you're really little, they have some camps that are just like 3 days, or if you're taking your grandparents or your family, they have camps that are just a couple days. Yeah, it's a big bag, isn't it? But if you're a big kid, yeah, water bombs, yeah. If you're a big kid, you need to pack for a week. You go on Sunday afternoon and you go home on Saturday morning, and you have to pack all the stuff you need, like a sheet. You need sheets for your bed. You'll have a bed of your own with its own mattress, and you need to take either a sleeping bag or some sheets, and you need a pillow, whichever is your favorite pillow. And you need to pack clothes for a whole week. So you need sweatshirts, right? Because at night it gets really cool in the woods and you'll want to be warm enough, right? So we've got a warm sweatshirt. And we've got long pants. Sometimes kids think, oh, I only need my shorts and my t-shirts. And then they discover it's a whole lot cooler in the woods. And you might as well take your grubby stuff because it'll get kind of grubby and muddy anyway. And then for the really sunny, hot days, you'll need your shorts. You'll need all sorts of clothes. And you'll need your t-shirts for the running and playing when it's nice and warm, right? So we're going to take our t-shirts. And you got to make sure you take your socks and your underwear, right? Yeah, you got to. And you know what? You want to take a water bottle because you're going to get thirsty. And people, they serve you food. You don't have to take food. They give you food. They give you breakfast and lunch and dinner and a snack at night. And sometimes the snacks are super fun, like when you make s'mores, you roast marshmallows over the campfire and you put them between a chocolate bar and graham crackers and you make a s'more. Sometimes the snack is that. And you need to take the stuff, the practical stuff. Like you need to take bug spray because there are some mosquitoes in the woods. So you need to have the bug spray. You need to take your soap and your toothbrush and your shampoo and your comb or your brush. You may think you could go a whole week without taking a shower, but the other kids don't want to sit next to you if you haven't taken a shower all week. So you're going to take some showers. And you need to take some, most of us need to take some sun lotion. And you know what you need to take? You need to take a pen because you might want to write things down when you're doing Bible study, and you should take your Bible. And you'll do Bible study that's different and fun, and it will be all for kids your age. So that's really fun and cool. And you probably should take, if you're going swimming, you take your swimsuit, and you take your shower shoes for by the pool. But most of the time, you have to wear regular shoes, like tennis shoes, so that you don't get your toes hurt. And you might want to take your extra old grubby pair so you don't have to worry about them getting all messed up. And you got to take a towel because you need that for your shower, need to wash your face. And you might want to take a friend so that you have somebody in bed with you to just kind of remind you of home and let you know that it's okay. And you'll probably take some fun things. And these fun things are for having fun, like you could throw these water bombs in the pool. But you might have something like a secret friend, and you might need to give them a present, like let them be surprised by a present under their pillow or something. So yeah, you'll have one of these when you leave, okay? Okay. And I brought with me today some gentlemen here who have been to camp. And they are professional campers, and they can they can explain to us some of the ups and downs of camp and why you might want to go. This is Jake and this is Drew, and they've both been to church camp. And you know, one of the things I asked them about, because most kids before they go to camp, they're kind of worried that, well, I won't know anybody and it'll be scary, and so I asked them to talk about that. What's that feel like?
When I first got there, I was a little nervous because the only person I knew really was Drew and my brother. But then once you kind of get situated and have your stuff, you start talking to everyone, and eventually you're pretty comfortable with everyone then.
Drew, you got something to say about that too? Yeah, sometimes they have you play games when you first get there so that you have fun and you start laughing early on. Yeah. What are some of the reasons why people would want to go to camp, guys?
Well, first you get to meet a lot of new friends and stuff, and you also get to learn more about God. And then also there's a lot of cool activities you can do, like video canoeing one day, and maybe have to play like baseball and I think soccer too.
Meet new friends. Like, I didn't get to go last year because I messed up my foot and sports came, so I wasn't going to go together. But I'm still talking to the friends that from when seventh grade, and I'm still talking to them today.
So you make friends that last a long time.
I've seen them in 2 years. So
you have a lot of fun. And learning about God, is that boring at camp?
Oh, no, they make it a lot of fun. Like, one way is you get to, like, sing songs around, like, a campfire about him. And also there's a lot of different games to learn about them too.
Did you help lead worship?
Oh yeah. Yeah, one day you get to help lead it. You get to like make a skit to like demonstrate the story.
So at church camp the kids can lead worship. And it's not the grown ups in charge. So it's the things that you want to do, the songs that you want to sing. So all right, do you have any questions about what camp might be like? No? Okay. Well, I do have water bombs, and I even have water bombs enough for the big guys if they want them. All right. We're gonna say a prayer, and then you can have your water bombs, all right? Because no matter what you're doing this summer, you may need a water bomb. Okay, the big guys are going to join us, too. They know how to do this. They have been little kids here. It's okay. He doesn't bite. All right. He won't bite you, I promise, no matter what he says. Jesus, we thank you for all the world's children. We ask you to help us keep them safe. We ask you to guide all the kids who are going to camp this year, the young ones and the old ones, and help them learn about you, help them laugh and love in your beautiful creation. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. And there are water bombs here. You guys can have one if you want. Take one each. Here, hand them out. Pick out which one you want. Just take one. Take one. Do you want the other one? Is that the one you want?
My brother and sister will have one.
Do we have enough? Yes. There you go. Let us pray. Sustainer, I am. God of all, we worship you. We sing your praises. We give you thanks. Help us to understand what we might know about you. Help us to understand creation and how each woman, man, and child is made in your image. Forgive our impudence. Forgive our blunders. Lead us to your realm. Jesus, Redeemer, how blessed we are to have your words. We thank you for all the ancestors who retold your stories and carried your love from elder to child. We thank you for healing and lift our hurts and illnesses to your anointing and comfort. Help us trust in the presence you promise. Help our hearts be strong enough to be certain of the room awaiting us in your everlasting realm. Holy Spirit, breath of God, shape us, encourage us, inspire us to share your reconciliation, peace, and love. We pray all this in the silent prayers of our hearts, in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At the close of the Last Supper, Jesus is speaking. The book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it. Here ends the reading from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. My message is called Open House. Perhaps you've heard that joke about being shown around heaven upon arrival. Here's the dining hall, over there's the game room. We have to whisper past this wing over here. And you ask, and why is that? Well, that's where the Baptists are, and they think they're the only ones here. But you can substitute the exclusive group of your choice in that joke. If you learn this passage from the NIV translation, it goes, in my Father's house are many rooms. Or maybe you heard the King James Version, in my Father's house are many mansions. Jesus was leaving his followers and reassuring them, where I am going, there is room for you to join me. Those left behind are afraid, focused on the negatives. We do not know God. We do not know where you are going. We do not know the way. Through lots of specifics, Jesus tried to reassure them and us. I will be back for you. You know me. I am the way. You will be with me. There's plenty of room. Simply believe. They may have been learning and working alongside Jesus for years, but none of them had a clue. They were delighted to have latched on to the promised Messiah, the liberator, the eternal sovereign of an everlasting realm. They were just getting started. And then he prepared them for his death, his resounding defeat under Roman boots. Say it ain't so. He had fed and blessed them, but this feast had a crushing conclusion. These reassuring words did not comfort them. They fixed on the loss, the death, the ending. Jesus was calling them into the future. They needed to keep their eyes on the horizon to survive the hardships in their paths. Shannon Michael Pater writes that the students of Jesus were about to become both hospice chaplains and maternity midwives. All those who had been touched by his healing, all those who had been welcomed into a community, no matter their sins, their poverty, their history, all those thrilled by scripture, taught with authority, compassion, and love, were about to be crushed by the death of their hero. They were about to be devastated when their conquering warrior evaporated. The followers of Jesus were about to learn with certainty that they were signed on to a lamb instead of a lion. The mission was about to be pulled out from under their feet. And those closest to him would soon be propping up all the disillusioned crowds with, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Jesus is preparing rooms for all of us. We will be with him." And after the weeping and the fear and the change of horses, Mary and Peter, Philip and Thomas would be on their knees as midwives helping deliver a brave new world. In the months after the death and resurrection of Jesus, students would become teachers. The healed would become healers. The fearful would become the bold. The exclusive chosen would become the inclusive lovers of all people. And those who had listened would soon become the ones to share his stories, his corrections, his forgiveness, his laughter, and his many loves. Professionals call it being a non-anxious presence. Chaplains and midwives sit quietly, ready for everything. Their patient confidence, their peaceful trust in the future reassures the fearful. Do not let your hearts be troubled. They know the doors ahead are open. They know there's plenty of room for all. Jesus said, just as you felt bereft when your parents shared last bits of love and reassurance, those around the Jesus table said, "No, you cannot leave us." You do not want your mentor to retire. You were not ready to be the oldest in your line. Yet, do not let your hearts be troubled. We need to keep our eyes on the horizon. Jesus is preparing a place for us, all of us. Believe it. Allow it to comfort you when all you can think of is, "I do not know the way." Because even those nearest to Christ himself had no clue what to do when he was killed. Think of the fears you have survived, large and small. As we remember when our little ones go off to camp, yes, it will be a bit scary and new. However, you know they will delight in new games and fast friends. They will love the night hike or the taco bar. They will learn new songs and secret handshakes. Sending them off, we ask them to trust us. It will be good and blessed. This time of year, it's hard to believe some graduates are ready for anything. Yet the teacher cannot hold a student's hand out the door. The coach has to sit on the sidelines. Jesus did what he could in a very short time. What sort of team had this captain built? Not all-stars for sure. They had fussed in the kitchen while the teacher taught. They had been rich, they had been poor, they had been fishermen, they had been crooks. They had writhed on the ground, possessed by demons and disease. They had doubted, argued, disobeyed, and elbowed each other for better seats. Come to think of it, they looked a lot like us. And Jesus assured them, "There's plenty of room. In my Father's house are many mansions." And what might a mansion look like? Does it have to have heavy double doors and marble floors to be a mansion? K. Keep in mind those newer translations speak of rooms or dwelling places. Imagine being a small child whose parents neglected you because of their drug addictions. A mansion for you might be a loving family to take you in, care for you, love you like their own. Project 127, a faith-based initiative to train and support foster families, teaches prospective families that a loving foster family may also be called upon to let go of the child they loved through his toughest times, when his family of origin gets itself straightened out. Most of us parents cannot imagine letting our beloved children go back to people who once neglected them. Yet for some foster children, a family who can hold them tight and let them go might be just the mansion they need. Arizona Project 127 manager Danielle Bannister says, "I love watching the church rise up and change the lives of kids and families in a positive way. The church is the greatest social change agent on earth, and God has made us this way." In fact, St. John's has just served a similar, small-scale foster home purpose for one of our new members. Maybe you too wondered why you had not gotten to know her, partly through two trips to Back Bay Mission and the guidance of Reverend Paul Stark. Claire Minear decided as a Heidelberg senior that she should have been a member of the United Church of Christ. She did not know where she would be this summer or next year, but wanted to be part of the justice work that is the wider United Church of Christ. So she joined us. I assured her we would be her home until she found a new home. We would always want to hear her stories and be part of her journey. Claire graduated last weekend. She moved to Washington, D.C. Friday. Tuesday, she begins working for a speech writing firm in the nation's capital. We can still love her and cheer her on no matter where Claire goes, because love is the very nature of open houses. Jesus taught us to the very end. Just like us, those followers did not want anything to change. They certainly did not want to let Jesus go. He did his best to reassure us about the home we will share one day. In God's house, the doors are open to the foolish and the wise, the obedient and the stray. Jesus went ahead to make up the beds and put the kettle on. Life holds trials and fears, joy and great loves. Do not let your hearts be troubled. No matter what, he will be with us. Come what may, there's room for all. Amen.